Purpose of agenda paper 11 is to ask the board for directions on two disclosure topics related to the agenda consultation and to previous consultations as well, which is the cash restrictions and liquidity disclosures. So as a brief background, I'll try to be brief because I think we don't have much time. As a brief background, we had an exposure draft for the reconciliation of liabilities in 2014 that was finalized in January. And this exposure draft also included a proposal for disclosures of cash. And because the board thought it would be useful to have, together with the reconciliation of liabilities, disclosure about the limitations and restrictions that an entity might have on moving cash. So in the October meeting, October 2015, the board decided to finalize the reconciliation and do not finalize the cash restrictions and wait for the feedback on the agenda consultation to see if any other consideration should be taken on board. So we had the agenda consultation, we presented the paper in the last meeting about the agenda consultation feedback. There was some feedback on the cash restrictions proposal, and there was some feedback from investors as well requesting more information about liquidity, and they gave some examples. So in regards to the cash restriction, we think the proposals for cash restrictions should continue to be developed, and the board has two options, two main options on how to do it. Do it on a standalone basis, just the cash restrictions, or if the board do want to add a liquidity disclosure, maybe the cash could be included as part of that discussion if the board decides to have that project. So as we discussed in paragraphs 10 to 15 of the paper, further research on this issue would consider a number of different issues as we explain in the paper. And we think that the proposals that we presented in the exposure draft would have to be redeveloped and to include all the feedback that was received and the further research that we have done on the issue. In terms of liquidity, the feedback from agenda consultation indicated that investors do want more information. They specifically ask for some types of information. We included some examples of that in Appendix A of this paper, which is an extract of the paper of some type of disclosure that they thought would be useful regarding liquidity. We think that a project on liquidity disclosures would take a considerable amount of time and resources, and much more than a cash restrictions discussion, than a cash project. But we also think that the outcome would result in more useful information from investors. So if the board does choose to undertake more research on liquidity disclosures, as I said, an option would be to include the cash restrictions as part of that. We also note in the paper that there are some current research projects where we do see some overlaps between the discussion on cash restriction, the discussion on liquidity disclosures and some other current projects. So as, for example, the primary financial statements has a ongoing research on the statement of cash flows. And we also have the financial instruments with characteristics of equity. There is some overlap between those projects that could be explored. So we set out in paragraph 23 some options that we think the board could have to move ahead. So option one is to move ahead only with the cash restrictions and do not have a liquidity disclosures project. Option two is to move ahead with the cash restrictions and do not have and have a liquidity disclosure project, so separated. Option three would be to have a liquidity disclosures project and include the cash restrictions as part of that project. That means not redeveloping the disclosures on cash restrictions now, so wait to see if there's more overlap with some other discussions and etc. And a natural option, the option four, would be not to do anything, so not move ahead with the cash and not move ahead with the liquidity disclosures project. So in paragraph 24, we recommend that depending on there being sufficient resources, which is a very important caveat, we think that the board should choose option two. Because, and we list some reasons in paragraph 24. So the question for the board that we have, do you agree with the staff recommendation to finalize the cash restrictions on its own as of narrow scope, and also undertaking more detailed research on liquidity disclosures? If not, do you have any preference for any other option?
Okay.
Thank you.
is, we've done a lot of work on cash restrictions, and with the project was sent back to the staff once or twice, and so we, if we're going to do the narrow scope, whether or not part of a larger project or not, has the work been done at this point that we can actually find, bring something to closure, or do we have to do more work on it?
I think the work that has been done already is enough. We might want to take on board what investors have suggested in the February meeting now, when they talked about cash restrictions, and they asked us to finalize it and bring it back to them before, to see if they're getting what they want. So there might be some small outreach to be done, and also natural outreach with preparers, I guess. But I think before finalizing, we would have to go for a final conversation with investors to see if they are getting what they want. But I think in terms of the proposal, internal development, I think we do have enough information. There's not much to learn about.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Martin?
I don't agree with the staff recommendation, because I think we learned from the first feedback when we had the original exposure draft that many preparers thought, okay, that it has to be linked really to the overall discussion of liquidity, because we have situations where maybe you have decentralized treasuries, or you have liabilities maybe in one entity, but maybe you have the cash, and even if you have cash restriction, it doesn't matter, because okay, it's matching the liability side. And overall, there was, I think, people said, okay, maybe consolidated financial statements are not the best mean of discussing liquidity. Liquidity, you have to have more information about in which legal entity is it, in which region, and so on. So I think even to address only the cash element, but not the rest, I think it was very clear, for me at least, when we discussed it 1 or 2 years ago, that we have to look at both sides and overall liquidity, because otherwise I think we may be requiring things which are not necessary to know, and a lot of cost. And I think if you want to address it, we have to maybe look at alternative C, as to look in a research program, or maybe if you don't have time, and I think option 4 is okay to do currently nothing, and if you have more time, then to put it back. But I think it was obvious when we discussed it that a narrow scope will not solve the problem. Sue?
Thank you. Two questions. Firstly, I thought that when we last discussed this and we were talking about what the word disincentive meant, etc., we were thinking that we were going to do some testing with preparers if we move forward to make sure that it was clear and workable, operational, etc., right?
Yes.
And I guess my second question was, I'm quite keen on doing something limited, narrow in scope, because I believe that it's something sort of like a low-hanging fruit in terms of helping investors on a relatively timely basis. But is the decision on what we do here in scope tied in with the decisions more broadly on what projects we work in as part of the paper 24A discussions we have tomorrow? Or is this separate to that?
I think certainly the very limited narrow scope thing, as long as we're restricting it to something not too dissimilar from the original proposals, we could probably absorb that into the disclosure initiative. If we were looking for anything more than that, I think it's an application.
Okay. I support it, subject to us to doing some testing with the preparers in terms of making sure that the words are operational and people understand what disincentive means.
Doug.
Thank you. So if we try to do something about the cash restrictions, are we going to require some narrative description like you described in paragraph 12?
Yes. We have researched what the FASB has done in 2012,
right,
where they proposed liquidity disclosures and interest risk disclosures. And one of the proposals was for entities to disclose a table of available liquid funds. Mm-hmm. And we have, together with that table, they also required something, and they didn't use the word disincentives or restrictions, they used limitations. They used the word that we had somewhere in the paper, which is limitations regarding the transferability of the funds. And yes, it's a narrative disclosure to explain if there is any legal, tax, regulatory, etc., limitations on the use of cash, and if possible, how much of the cash was subject to that. And that is a disclosure that, if I'm not mistaken, we already have in IS 7, paragraph 45, AI7 already asks for the disclosure of cash and cash equivalents, and entities do provide that. I went to some financial statements to have a look. Entities do provide a table showing the cash and the other cash equivalents that they have, previous period. So the idea could be to add like a disclosure that would somehow complement this other disclosure, and require a narrative disclosure, a qualitative disclosure, to support those numbers. During the research, we have learned that credit rating agencies, they do apply 25% of discounts to cash and cash equivalent items. And they also include other liquid funds as well. So they also apply that discount to marketable securities, for example. And when they did a public consultation on that issue, they asked people, what do you think if we include this as part of a model, this discount? And Prepara said, I don't think this is fair. I don't think it's correct because we can move cash and et cetera, et cetera. So they finalized the model as it is anyway, saying that they're going to provide they're going to have the 25% discounts. But if the entities provide information about that, that haircut could diminish or increase depending on the type of information. Yeah. So I think what this disclosure could do, if it is qualitative, it would help investors to calibrate that haircut in a way, depending on the kind of disclosures that investors provide. But yes, it would be a qualitative disclosure.
Yeah, actually, if we required something narrative or qualitative, then why do we have to restrict only the cash restrictions? We can ask a little more broader disclosure about liquidity and situation of funds availability, rather than just restrict to the cash restrictions. Because in my experience, we had a lot of conversation with rating agency and the investors. Always we are asked, what is your fund availability situation and the liquidity situation? My first job, I remember, was to prepare the such kind of explanation to Moody's. And that they have their own idea and how to explain it. So just simply ask them to provide on the financial statement. That would be much easier than to don't restrict only the cash restriction and to define what the restriction is all about.
Are you suggesting not to be bound by only cash and cash equivalents, but go into other funds as well?
If possible, yeah, maybe. Just simply require them to explain what is your funding situation, and that could provide a lot of useful information. And the funding situation would vary company by company. And if the company is oriented on the central basis, then liquidity situation is, in a sense, quite straightforward. But if you have lots of subsidiaries all over the world, then they may have a strategy where you concentrate your cash, where you concentrate your debt, and how you manage the investment and the repatriation and the dividend and all about. They have their own strategy. And those strategies would be very useful for investors to judge what is the liquidity situation. So simply ask them to provide such information. We would go the long way.
Okay.
Gregor?
I share a similar position as Martin. But I have two questions about option two and three. Option, you said, has some link between these issues with the primary financial statement and the liability equity project. And the link with primary financial statement is obvious, But the link with liability equity project, it seems not so clear for me.
So investors have asked on the agenda consultation some more information about covenants and other types of funding related, not about the asset side, as we say, but about the debt side that has some overlap, that could have some overlap. I mean, we're not saying that those issues should be researched together, but we're just saying that there might be some overlap on some small issues. And we have been talking to the FICE staff about this, and they are aware of this small overlap if we would add a wider disclosure.
So if you started to talk about terms and conditions of the liabilities, that type of stuff, right?
Yes.
Well, there'd be nothing that wouldn't, that couldn't stop voluntary disclosures to tell the whole picture, even if we had a narrow disclosure, but it was inadequate, you know, to tell the story. There's nothing that stops people from expanding.
No, I'm not finished yet. No, broadly speaking, I think, of course, related to liability, equity, particular liability, but my question is related to the current liability equity project. It's more about, you know, distinction between the liability equity and also related to how should we improve disclosures about, you know, some of the things we discuss. From that point of view, I don't think there's any link to this whole project.
I think it's more around the disclosures area. So if you're looking in general at disclosures related to the liability or the an equity side of the balance sheet, then it might make sense to look at these additional disclosures as part of that package. Although personally, I think probably the better fit might be within sort of looking at the cash flow statement and the primary financial statements and looking at that in more general. But there is clearly some overlap with the FICE project, and I think we need to look at that before deciding exactly where any sort of broader liquidity project would actually fit.
My second question is, if we have any, yeah, the options, is still part of the disclosure initiative project, rather a separate project. Am I right?
The cash restrictions, the narrow piece of this could potentially be absorbed into the disclosure initiative project. Yeah.
Mar.
Thanks, Sans. I have to say here that. First, I have some sympathy, as Sue expressed, that there's obviously informational content here. We've been hearing from investors that they do need more information about liquidity, and this could be, the first step. So I have some sympathy. But at the other hand, as the paper itself stresses, we are not going to provide what investors really need, is that liquidity. So we'll show only one side of the equation, and that comes to Martin's point. And I think, and then I share with Martin's view that maybe the one-sided information might at the end of the day, of course there's information content, but might at the end of the day be incomplete and actually be inaccurate in terms of helping users to assess aspects associated with what they need, this liquidity. So that said, it's clearly I'm in the middle of the table and I'm in between both positions. And trying to be helpful in this, reading very carefully the paper and what is in the paper and the three issues that are here that are leading me to maybe do something different is first the assertion that, well, FASB is doing something that is aligned with what we are doing, but scope is not the same. And then there is this disincentive concept that is clearly, I anticipate, a very difficult concept for us to develop. And being the disincentive, one of the key aspects of our proposals, my fear is that although apparently a simple project, being a narrow scope, when we reach the point of discussing the operationality of the disincentive bit, together with the limited information that will be provided, being only one side, I think this will take much more time than I personally envisage. And among the proposals presented by staff, and in paragraph 10, you mentioned that finalizing the cash restriction proposal on their own would involve redeveloping the proposals of IS 7 and testing proposals with investors, but we need to test also the concept of these incentives. And then I go to the proposals, the four options. The option two, it's an easy go one. So yeah, go ahead, finalize, we'll give a bid now and then go for a more complete and detailed research on liquidity. I agree, liquidity is the key here. I think the danger here is not only that we take a lot of time to finalize this apparently easy proposal, but also we do not dedicate ourselves to what is really important and what is a complete piece of information on liquidity.
Just one comment about the completeness argument. We would just like to remind that the cash proposals, they were born because of the reconciliation of liabilities.
Yeah.
So they were born as a complement to it, to make the reconciliation complete, because entities, as we provide in the IS7 amendments finalized in January this year, we provide some flexibility if entities want to add cash to the reconciliation liability, they can add cash. And some investors and some other board members were worried that entities might put the cash there and that cash is not available to pay those debts. So in terms of completeness, I think investors do want to calculate, and they do have this in their models, a net debt position. They're going to do it anyway. They're going to try to figure out. So as we gave the reconciliation of liabilities, so we gave them a debt position in the manner. So what this is trying to do is to complement that part to close the picture and give a complete could give a complete net debt position using not very accurate words, but that's what I meant.
A more complete, but not really the liquidity position.
Not the whole liquidity, yes. Yeah.
And that's my fear. I mean, I don't have problems if the majority of the board opt for finalizing this narrow bit. That's fine. My only concern is that, consider the constraints that we generally have for many projects, we devote time to this, believing that this will be easy and quick, and at the end of the day we'll spend a lot of time that we could be spending to liquidity themselves directly. So that's where I am.
Mary?
I support the staff recommendation to move ahead with a targeted project, and I think very strongly we should not, I have a very strong view that we should not put it as part of a broader liquidity project, because I think the broader liquidity project, all very interesting, and you know, talk about priorities later, could be quite a sprawling project and quite challenging for us to scope. And as a result, I think this could get held up for a long time. I can't remember exactly how it was phrased in the ED, but I think more than ever, this would be a good place to practice objective-based disclosure requirements, because I think if we've got some terms that are challenging to define consistently, I think putting out something that said that our objective is to help users of financial statements understand both restrictions and you know, disincentives that may limit transferability of cash. If we put that, it might help us practice not writing long lists of things that might be relevant, but rather explaining what we want them to achieve. The other caveat that I have, and this may make it's coming at the same question Gary asked from a different angle. I know we always stop and consider re-exposure, et cetera, you know, after we get something in front of us. This may be a project that warrants it. I don't want to prejudge it, because I think the staff has done a lot of the research, maybe not all the testing that you want to do, but the fact that it was exposed as part of something else, and we were scrambling a bit at the end to see if we could finalize it, may be time when we step back and see if we've accomplished it, and it may make sense to put a little more time in terms of consultation, particularly if we see something else we can pair it with just to lessen the consultation burden. So those are some thoughts, but I think it makes sense to peel this out and try and progress it separately rather than putting into the bucket that says as and when we get to a liquidity research project, even if it's a detour of some of the resources that might be spent on that.
Yeah, it seems to me that for this project to be really useful to investors, and maybe as a reacting to Martin's points, this limited scope amendment should not be too limited in terms of contents. If we address only legal restrictions, prohibitions by law to transfer cash because of foreign exchange restrictions, or legal covenants that prohibit an entity from reducing its cash position in transferring to the parent, that will not capture enough to be really useful. So I think we need to go a bit further and to also talk about disincentives. Otherwise, we give only part of the information, and that could be even misleading. Now the question is, how far do we go regarding disincentives? Is it only the cost to pay for proceeding with a transfer, tax cost, transfer cost? Do we go then to say, well, I have to pay 30% to NCI, because I have 30% NCI in that entity, the only way I can pay out is by dividends, and I have to think of the restriction, this incentive of paying 30% of this amount to NCIs. And then if we go to the next step, is there a managerial disincentive, like the balancing of the financial position of that legal, that local entity? So where do we stop when we think of disincentives is a big question. We can be objective-based, but I'm thinking of the enforcement of that standard and the rigor of application. If we are not specific enough, the enforcement will be quite difficult. So we have to be clear what we mean by disincentives. Once we have potentially completed that project with the right content, my question is, what is left to do regarding liquidity disclosures? What is missing then? I'm not sure there's anything left much that requires another project, or maybe I miss a point, because I think it's kind of what is in one is not in the other one, and vice versa. So can you be more specific about what would be needed with liquidity disclosures if we got it right with this IS7 amendment?
Well, in terms of the liquidity part, well, investors they have gave like a wish list in a way in the agenda consultation of what they want. So more information on covenants, particular types of reconciliation between nominal values and fair values, and so they did give a list of other information that is not related to cash, although they did include the cash in that list, that is not related to cash that would be useful in terms of liquidity. So I would have thought that a starting point for this project, if the board wants to have one, depending on the resources, would be to start with this wish list that investors have given us in the agenda consultation, which is shown in Appendix A of the paper. I mean, summarized, because not all of the requests are there. But those are some simple requests they have done in terms of liquidity disclosures.
Well, this being said, I support the idea of completing this amendment, provided the scope of it is not too narrow so as to make it useless.
Martin?
And only one question, because and if you are a bank, for example, and you have obligations in dollar and in euros and in yens and in whatever currency you can imagine, there are many banks who have, for example, if they have, say, a dollar liquidity position sitting maybe if they have a branch or a subsidiary in New York, and then they have kind of liabilities which are dollar nominated in New York. They have maybe, if they have euros, they are sitting in London or in Frankfurt better. London has not euros, sitting in Frankfurt and has this kind of obligation. If we would require this kind of cash disincentives, would it be required then for a bank, because maybe there is a restriction or a disincentive to move euros from Frankfurt to New York, do they have to disclose it? Even if they have in New York maybe the optimal cash position with the optimal liability position in dollar. And that is only one example which I think, okay, this isolated disclosure does not for me make any sense if you have a decentralized treasury function and liquidity management. And I understand that we have
with this net debt. But the net debt is a kind of high-level something based on consolidated accounts, which I think make, for some entities, maybe make a little bit sense, but for many entities does not make any sense to have that. So you need further information to get really a kind of judgment, what is the liquidity position.
This is why
I think that,
and therefore, that is only to explain my reasoning why I think, and that was also my, when we discussed it in the Global Preparers Forum, we have got feedback from preparers. There was not anybody in the preparers community that said that this kind of information makes any sense. That was the result of this research.
In terms of banks, we do think that, and feedback has actually shown us that they do sit on a different position in terms of this disclosure. We have been researching and we have been talking to some bank preparers, and we do think that there might be some regulatory requirements already in place that fulfill the objective of these disclosures in some sense. So we might have to, there's something that in the redevelopment of the proposal we have to think about.
But my point was not limited to banks, because if you look at global companies, look at Siemens or others, they have funding in other currencies, and they have maybe also the cash sitting in. So it is not limited to the bank. It is, my example is where you have decentralized treasury functions.
This is why I think this notion of disincentive needs to be specific. We need to be specific what it means.
So. I don't disagree with what Martin said, and I think when we last discussed the sort of wording the staff was working on, I raised some of these points, because I think it's hard to know what disincentive means. And I can see that it could be complicated to work out how to do this. I think it might not be as easy as it seems at first instance, I guess. Having said that, I think it is information that investors seem to want. And if I look at banks, for example, I think quite a lot of the banks have got situations where they can't repatriate cash from parts of the world to other parts of the world because there's very big tax consequences, for example. Or they may not be able to move money around because local regulators require them to have certain, you know, cash or funds and jurisdictions. And I think that is all stuff that investors seem to want to understand. So I think it's going to be challenging, but I think it's still a good thing to try and do if we could. It's not easy, though. I agree with Martin on that. And that's why I was very keen to talk to preparers about whether the words we were working on were actually going to be operational in practice.
Okay. Who can support the staff's recommendation?
Eight.
That's just enough. Okay.
Do you think we're going to have to take baby steps, though, to see how much resource it's actually going to take up?
Yeah. Well, this resource should leave me in us, right?
Well, I know. So we're not sort of flooded with staff working on this.
As I was saying before, if we keep this restricted, and quite narrow in scope, I think this is doable with the existing resources. I think any attempt to expand the scope beyond that, then I think we start to run into problems.
Yeah, but my support to the staff proposal is that we issue something which is useful and not captures only 10% of the problem.
But the way you describe it, Philippe, to me, it's much more aligned with what liquidity is.
It's getting closer to liquidity.
Yeah, it's
in between. But I mean, if we talk only about legal restrictions,
and you voted wrong, Philippe.
Pardon me?
I think you voted wrong.
No, it's because in the description of the project, there is a notion of disincentive for the entity to use cash and cash equivalents. And this notion of disincentive, if you write it in a standard, we have to explain what it means. And to me, it means more than just legal restrictions.
Yeah, it is
for you too, right?
This
so my question was, how far do we go when we explain the meaning of disincentive? I mean, this is not very clearly established yet.
This might end up being an accounting policy disclosure, because we may have suggested objectives based, you define disincentives. But Hans, can we just clarify the vote, though? Because this vote was a short-term project plus a longer-term research project. What if that doesn't make the cut tomorrow? Do we still go with the short-term project?
Good question.
Is it fair to characterize the vote as those of us who voted for it want to look at a short-term project that is separate from a research project on liquidity?
Yeah.
So it's not what staff suggested, right? It's not option two, it's option
one.
One.
If it had been option one, I would have voted for it as well.
It's different, yeah.
It's a contingent
option two. It's contingent, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Contingent to tomorrow.
Contingent to tomorrow.
That part two is contingent on tomorrow.
Guess so.
Part one as well.
Yeah, then, but I mean, if then we would have to have a revote.
Well, no, because I think what Mary's suggesting is I think the people who voted for what we just voted for would accept a short-term project.
Without research.
And then it would be good to do the
which
research, but
one.
The research, but subject to tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I make one suggestion as you're tackling this? Can you try to take as many of the data or information objectives listed in the appendix, as well as some of the other comment letters, and put them in a tabular format to begin with, as opposed to trying to, what I think the board struggled with was words, and I think Philippe's observations and Martin's as well reinforce this. But what investors can clearly hang their hat on, and they find real tangible benefits, is when they see a table or a graph or something that actually illustrates, for example, nominal debt maturities or where debt is located across geographies or you know, the restrictions on cash balances if, in fact, you disclose them between EMEA, North America, and Asia. I think this is not rocket science, and this can be mapped into a series of graphs and tables without, you know, making it a career endeavor. And I think proof of that is the Enhanced Disclosures Task Force, you know, that Basil put together in a year's period of time, came up with 30, 40, you know, very good constructive examples. It wasn't hard. And a lot of banks have, you know, adopted it. A lot of them have dragged their feet. But the reality is, this is not real difficult stuff. I mean, if Gary was in his old job, and his boss asked him, hey, Gary, you know, create a disclosure in this format, I'm sure it wouldn't take him a month to do it. You know, so to Martin's point about the GPF saying, you know, that no one's asking for this. Well, you're right. These guys don't want to do this.
What I heard from Martin is that liquidity is more important than cash. It's just this. Of course, every entity has the liquidity position, and it's obviously possible to disclose. That's the point.
Okay.